You know, I do read a lot about Milton anti-fascist activity. I've actually learned a lot from someone who has practical experience in it. And for me, it was very welcome to hear that. On your other point, in regard to Protestant via Catholic areas and stuff as well, racism gives rise in all areas. And I've said before, you see it more visible played out in the working class areas. But you hear the dinner tables of the more affluent areas. But if you look at history, there's a lot of reasons as to why the loyalist community vis-a-vis the Republican community and the imbalance of attacks within the areas, because traditionally, if you look past the conflict, the Republicans were more aligned to left-wing forces and left-wing groups internationally, and so whenever groups came here, Labour groups were actively fighting anti-racism, and so they were welcome into the state or into the areas. Was for loyalism, a lot of the loyalists in the early days, you see pictures of them marching on the National Front and stuff like that there, and they were affiliated individually or even collectively to far-right organisations, and so that did have an effect in the longer term, I believe, in my opinion. But at the end of the day, the way it's tackled is tackled the same whatever working class state it is, and that's the communities and working class people coming together. And I'm glad I actually sat in this meeting today and listened to Paul, because I'm a very firm believer in people who are involved in practical experience and learning from people with practical experience. So it's important to have a theoretical background, but actually learning with people who have gone through it, I think is far, far more important, because I envisage a different thing. And if I was involved in anti-fascism, I had envisaged that it is physical confrontation. You have to be prepared for jail, for beatings, for threats. Given my background in anti-racism, I just had threats, I had people threatened to beat me, so I thought it would be 10 times harder, or 10 times higher of those threats. But it's really important that I listened to Paul today, and I'm really intrigued that, you know, the same type of tactics that we use in anti-racism might be used in anti-fascism. But I still believe that the context of where you did in Leeds, there's a different context here, given our traditions and given the fact that some of those, including the recent statement was shown out of the UDA, Young Ulster Muslims, who threatened some of the minority ethnic organisations, and these people will have access to different types of weaponry and stuff. So if there was a launch of an anti-fascist campaign here, then all those things could be debated and discussed, and it would be essential, in my belief, the likes of Paul and others with practical experience of how to combat fascism would be there to articulate their views, because I have learned a lot from just listening to them here today.
Thank you. If there was a launch of an anti-fascist movement, as a community rep of my own location, Protestant Woodstock Road area, a bit of a there's poverty there and racism. I would like to be able to organise something within my community. So would that be one way, or would you recommend a sort of broad spectrum of different actions? I don't know how much of Northern Ireland's details are.
Let me put it this way. One of our anti-fascist comrades in Bramford, in fact, was based was Lachlan Davy, who grew up in the village here in Belfast, and is actually part of the National Front group that was set up by what's his name? He's a respectable academic now in Scotland. Anyway. He was in the group in, let's say, in the 80s, when the National Front was trying to sell here in East Belfast, and along with Adair before he did the steroids. And your man sort of gave this speech about there's too many Vietnamese, or I think he might use words like Jake instead, around here, and there was an arson attack, in fact, on a Vietnamese restaurant in which the family were killed. And it was after that that the UPS stepped in and gave their marching order to say, you're on the next boat out of here or else, and basically dissolved the NF branch in that form. So I'm aware of some of the background of this stuff. Also, I've been coming to Belfast for quite a long time. I would agree that it's important. One of the other principles of anti-fascism is that we try and cast is a double pincer movement, if you like. That on our side, on the anti-fascist side, we try and be as fighting side we're trying to be as narrow as possible. That's to say, we are fighting Nazis. You know, we're not going to get tied up into anything else. And I think that to be very important right here would be to say we are focusing on fascist Nazis, right? And we would like to separate that from the whole Republican loyalist thing, because to a certain degree, the fact that these groups are rising now is because a vacuum has been left, whereas before in the 80s, you know, attempts by British Nazis to build here eventually would get swallowed up by one or other group saying, you're on our turf, fuck off. So, and that's not the case anymore. So to a certain extent, it is, we do need to refound a specifically anti-fascist struggle on the thing of being specifically anti-fascist, yeah, and uniting people from both Republican and loyalist communities against Nazism and racism, violent racism, yeah.
Yeah, but tactically, how do we get that out in the public?
And just say we have 10 minutes left, so if anyone wants to come in there, does anyone else want to come in there?
Even like, we never have an army. Attacks on like, no, like, essentially, if someone in my school who was in the year above me, he got a, he's walking around locally, the loyalist area of Bangor. He has, I think, he's gay, he has long hair, he was, well, shouted at by a group of people who claim to be the Oxford Young Militants or whatever it is, that youth group, who proceeded to, well, beat him up. He had to get stitching in his head, and now all of his friends are interested in fighting, that kind of thing. Actual examples, sorry, actual incidents are the kind of thing that builds up anti-fascism, though, and like, even in middle-class areas like Bangor, people see what's happened because of these people and then think they need to be stopped.
Totally, just one of
that's pretty good. I think that there is, I think it's worthwhile to focus on the communities that are trying to build any kind of anti-fascist efforts from where it comes to be. I mean, I know when the ARN was set up that there was a subgroup of it for West Belfast, which says involvement, and it's just something that there's different perspective there. There is different perspective between the United States community and the Unionist community, just to the cancer. I think that when it comes to fighting the Nazis, especially if you are in a sort of a Protestant or a loyalist in this area, I mean, there's still a lot of pride in the Second World War as sort of its progressive war against fascism, against Nazism. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, those Unionists who fought, you know, there is that tradition. There are a lot of Protestants and Catholics who did fight in the Second World War. And it's a matter of using that there, maybe in a... Maybe they're just using it or twisting it in a bit of a way, but there is an image of it as a progressive anti-fascist war. And that can be used more in Union stories, to say that in national stories, but still, it's some progressive ways that are used in a progressive way, and especially in that moment of the community, you know. So I think that there are examples there that building, like, from the ground up in an area can very well only find the issues that are sort of focused on them.
Super, thanks, great.
I actually completely agree with you, Karen. That's what I was talking about in my basic introduction, in terms of there's not as a clear-cut relationship there, like, as you were right, there is stuff you can use about the Second World. There's also the fact that Israeli flags are flown in many of those areas as well, which is anathema to your average fascist. Like, I also think there's the whole idea here as well of acceptable racism. For example, many people would maybe look down on, would think it's unacceptable to, maybe if you're Polish or if you're from Eastern Europe, but if it comes to the people such as Roma, Romanian, which is treated like dirt in their own country, it's kind of, it's much just them, I'm not sure they sell them big issue on the street anyway, they're just dirt anyway. It's also a whole thing of travellers as well, which is more acceptable, particularly in Nazis areas as well, to be more than maybe saying about Polish or Eastern European migrants. Just thought I'd bring it up as well.
The one thing I did want to come back on was your other point on the housing. We've certainly had this problem across Yorkshire and particularly places like Hull, where you get run down housing areas, sort of run by the council, where nobody wants to live there, nobody wants to go on housing lists for there. So it ends up being the dumping ground, both for people who get evicted from council properties for antisocial behavior, which includes things like racist attacks, for example, are then dumped into these areas, and sure enough, when the government asks them to house refugees, they put them in the same areas. And we had a big problem in Hull, is there basically all people who were being evicted from council homes for racist attacks were being put into the same area as the refugees. Guess what? People got stabbed. Surprise. So there is a big issue around housing, you're absolutely right. And that sort of then means that you have to raise the bigger questions about, you know, what the fuck's going on with the housing policy, why are people
In regard to anti-fascist activity, you know, if something was to kick off, wouldn't be a launch, it'd be a different way of organising. And I think that what Paul says there, again, you know, I'm learning my lessons from his own experience, the way to deal with anti-fascism is you have a broad bit at the back, or a broad bit of thought where people do different things and a sharp angle if you do need to have physical confrontation. And that's an excellent analogy, you know what I mean? And that's more or less the learning for me today. I think that another thing that needs to be done is to cut down all the myths. I raised some of the points in the introduction there about doing this for private and state and the NGO organisations as well. And that's an issue for those dealing with propaganda. And I do think, regard to housing and stuff, you know, time and time again, you know, you were saying, Paul, that there was no real ideology behind it, you know, wasn't there a political, wasn't real political thing about wider thing in your organisation, was it? Will they deal with the social and economic issues? Because I do think, Paul, yeah. Can get back here, but you know, dealing with the social and economic issues as well, and the social deprivation within specific areas is an important issue that has to go hand in hand within it, because from my own experiences, that those who seek to attack the most vulnerable in society with their fascist ideology or racist ideology and try and put the ill of society on those people, you know what I mean? And they will come and say, you're taking your jobs, you're taking your houses, there's tenants in the house, etc, etc, etc. So it does need to be focused not only, you know, in the sense of confrontation and tactical and strategic, but also political. There needs to be a political way in there as well in dealing with the issue.
Unless someone wants to come in there, obviously, Paul, do you want to sum up as well?
Sure. Carrying on what happened in Hull. In Belfast, as you probably were, when the Roma were being attacked and driven out of their homes, there were a number of traveller families having protested to City Hall looking for a residence. Now, when 100 remaining families did eventually leave, the BSD and City Council said they found a business for you, but it was the house that the remaining to display it out of. And so, I mean, I think that these issues will be raised. We need to challenge the state of your eyes and say, how serious are you challenging these issues, you know, the root causes here? I mean, if you put like, you know, all these travel plans back in the same area, I mean, what's the effect of what's going to happen again? They sense a challenge at its root, you know?
I think, yeah, what I was saying before about anti-fascism not being a political struggle in the normal sense that you get together and you agree a political program, theoretical unity. Anti-fascism isn't about that. Anti-fascism is purely about tactical unity without any preconditions on theory apart from the basis of the grievance of being against, wanting to fight the fascists in an effective, concrete way, not relying on this. That doesn't mean to say that in the course of these things, issues like housing, of course, raise political and social questions. To a certain extent, we almost have to rely on other political groups to take those up as well. You know, the questions are raised, but it's up for different political groups to try and to progress those things. Well, anti-fascism is not a total struggle. It's a very partial, specific thing. And you have to be fairly disciplined about knowing where your boundaries are in order to maintain your sort of effective unity.